passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, our one podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Welcome to the Paul Feinbaum Show. Yes, today is March 25th, 2024, and I am your host for today. So yes, Roman Harper is hosting today. Sorry to say it, you're going to be able to call Paul. No, you're not going to call Saul. No, you're going to call Roman today. So looking forward to it, and we're not going to wait any longer. We're kicking this thing off right now. We got a huge guest for us to kick off the Paul Feinbaum Show today, and that is head coach of the Texas A&M Aggies, Mike Elko. How about that? Coach, thank you so much for joining me today. I know you've been waiting a little bit while, you know. How are the vibes in Aggie land right now? Spring training is starting to kick up. What are the vibes like in with Texas A&M right now?
Yeah, I think the vibes are great right now. I think we kicked off spring ball on Friday. I think finally getting out on the grass with our guys was great. I think getting to play some football, starting to implement our scheme, our philosophy. You know, that's what we do this for. You know, and it's funny when you take over these jobs, you go so long before you finally actually just get to go out and coach these kids and play some football with them. So it was an exciting time this weekend.
Now, Coach, two quick questions. All right, number one, I haven't played in a long time. So when do we get to put the pads on? How many days do we go in spring before we get to put the pads on? And number two, I don't know if you can see this, but we're talking about the vibes. You guys, what's up with this whole, you know, rocking thing when you guys, when you first accept the job, you're rocking back and forth. How does this go about? How do you find this tradition yourself? There it is. We got a little picture.
There we go.
People, our viewers awesome. Watching. What is up with that, Coach? Tell me about that.
Yeah, I said, so from that perspective, I think Texas A&M is such a special place with its tradition and its passion. And when we were here last time, we were fortunate enough to get a real good feel of what game day looks like. And so you get up on that stage, and that's the Aggie War Hymn, and you know the band starts playing, and the people start swaying, and that's what makes 105,000 people come to life in Kyle Field every Saturday. And so that's just a special part of what we do down here in Aggie Land, and certainly something we're really excited about. And then in terms of spring ball, you know, you wouldn't even recognize football anymore the way it's set up. We don't get to put pads on. We don't get to hit anymore. We don't get to tackle. We might as well just play two-hand touch anymore. But no, we're helmets the last 2 days. We'll get full pads tomorrow when we go back out in the field, and you know, hopefully kind of crank up the intensity a little bit this week.
I mean, how much? I mean, I would pay money almost to get into some kind of bull in the ring drill, some kind of drill where I get it just to put the helmet back on one more time. It's okay though. I'll let you guys handle that. But Coach, I want to know another perspective that a lot of the Aggie fans are wanting to know about, and we want to get our first view of this spring will be, and that is the offense under the new OC, Colin Klein. What has that process been like for your team? And also, what is this offense going to look like as compared to what it was last year?
Yeah, I think, you know, comparing it, I don't know. I know what we're going to do. We want to be able to attack people. And I think that's one of the things that we talk about a lot is how are we going to put pressure on a defense? And people want to tie these offensive packages up into these cute little bows of, you know, spread or pro style or whatever. But I think what we want to be able to do is we want to be able to change and dictate tempo. We want to be able to move our personnel around so that we can put people on the matchups and in the areas that we want them to be. And we want to be able to attack and put a lot of pressure on opposing defenses. And I think as you build that, you know, a big part of that is finally getting out and working with your guys, because, you know, until you actually get hands-on with them, see what they can do, see what their strengths are, see how they can attack people, it's hard to really do, you know, you're just doing X's and O's on a board. We want it to be a little bit more specific to who our players are, what their skill sets are, and how we can truly take advantage of what we have.
I love what I'm hearing out of you, talking about really the one-on-one matchups, and understand that that's all really football is. When you got the matchup that you want, you go for those things. And you bring back a quarterback with a lot of experience in Connor Wegman. I would like to know personally, how much playing time are we looking to anticipate? I know he finished the year last year with an injury. So coming off that injury, what are we looking like playing time for him? We're going to try and slowly walk him back in, get him more comfortable. I know you want to get acclimated with some of the new play calls and things of that nature. But you also, I'm hearing, have a nice quarterback battle in behind him as well between Marcel Reed and Jalen Henderson.
Yeah, so obviously Connor comes in the spring as our number one, and I think everyone's aware of that. But, you know, like everything, you want competition, and you want competition within your program. And so, you know, Connor's out there now. He's back. He's taking the majority of the reps. He's not, 100% back off that injury, but he's enough to go out there and do the things that he's got to do to start learning this offense and progressing how he wants to progress. And then, you know, you've got two quarterbacks last year who filled in and had some very successful moments. Jalen Henderson on the back end of the year had a great game against Mississippi State, leading us to a victory. And then Jalen winds up getting hurt on the first series of the bowl game, and Marcel Reed, as a true freshman, steps in and he throws for over 370 yards in the bowl game. And so you do have these two talented kids that are competing every day. And, you know, I think our job as coaches is to kind of make competition a backbone of what we are as a program. And so, you know, giving those two young men opportunities to kind of showcase themselves. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think everybody knows who the best player is coming out of spring, and that'll be the guy we line up with against Notre Dame.
You know, Coach, now that I got you here and you said something, it just really resonates to me. You talk about the competition and making competition your backbone of your program. I love that, right? Competition is what brings out the best in everybody. I love when I get to compete. That's why I love doing what I did for so long. But in today's time, when you push kids and make them want to compete and understand that competition is what we're going to do, a lot of these, some people, tuck tail and run. How do you continue to keep it competitive but still maintain the roster and also wanting guys to still be a part of them, that right here in Aggie Land, that we're still adding value to you no matter whether you're a starter or not? The competition is the will be the result of what it is, but still staying here in today's time when we get the transfer portal.
Yeah, I just think you have to be honest and you have to be open with kids when you talk to them. And I think for the history of time, competition drives people to become what they're capable of becoming. Nobody gets to their best ability without a little bit of nervousness about having to be my best, or I'm not going to be able to continue to do what I do and what I love to do. And so, listen, we don't shy away from this new era of college football. I think we embrace the opportunities that our players get. I think that's really awesome that they get NIL and they get to be involved in some of these things. But there's some core values that make a really good football team, and we're not going to shy away from that part of this. We're going to continue to develop men. We're going to continue to help them elevate to become what they're capable of becoming. And hopefully we'll get known as the program who still does things the way they're supposed to be done in the game of football.
I like that. All right, Coach, now I want to talk about a receiver who really stood out to you guys last year, really came into his own. Noah Thomas really made some flashes as a big time receiver at times. How do we get him to be more consistently to where we saw the talent really flashed on tape, but how do we get that week in and week out? How are you guys talking to him about that and pushing him to be able to reach the potential that he has?
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's everything you want in a wide receiver. He's got a great catch radius. He's tall. He can get in and out of breaks. He can separate on people. And he certainly showed last year he's got an ability to go high point the ball and make plays. And I think, you know, as a program, we're trying to drive a higher level of consistency. And I think that starts with, you know, one, your offseason strength and conditioning. And I thought we had a great winter with Coach Tommy Moffitt and the different things that we did in that room and instilling some of those types of values into the program. And I think it continues with practice habits. And I think you become a consistent person when every single day you go out on the field, you play and prepare consistently. And I think that's, there's no secret to it. There's no shortcut. There's no secret sauce to how you become a consistent football player. You go out and you work. And that's, I think as a program, that's become our mentality this spring is we want to go out there. We want to enjoy getting on the grass together. We want to compete. And we want to become what we're capable of becoming, not only as individuals, but also as a program here for Texas A&M football.
All right, Coach, I want to we're going to get your way out of here on this one. I want to talk about fan excitement in Aggieland. Number one, how's it been now that you're the head coach of Texas A&M and also leading up to this season? I think we're going to show a schedule here about some of the games that are going to be coming up for you guys. And you guys, it's going to be a tough one. The SEC has continued to expand. You're staying at 8 games. But it's all about the excitement of who all you guys are going to be facing. We got Arkansas. You're at Florida. I mean, starting off the season versus Notre Dame. Can we just talk about that excitement? What are the fans feeling? What are you hearing at Aggieland right now?
Yeah, listen, there's no program in the country that has a bigger fan base than Texas A&M, and there's
you might
no
be right about
stadium that.
That
there's no stadium that rocks on Saturdays quite like Kyle Field, and so our excitement is at an all-time high. I think people are excited about the direction of this program. I think we have a tremendous fan base that's going to come out here this fall and get behind this team and be loud and be boisterous and be the 12th man that they've been for years. And I think when you look at the home slate, I think it lines up really good. I think we've got some really high-level games that are going to happen in College Station and Kyle Field this fall, and that's something not only our program's excited about, but you know these fans are going to show up in big time. And until you've been in Kyle on a Saturday night primetime kickoff, you know, you got a bucket list item you still got to check off.
Well, Coach, the bucket list item I got to check off is actually I got to go to Yale practice the day before the game. That's
there
what I
go.
Have to get done.
There
so,
you go.
Thank you for joining us on the Paul Feinbaum Show, Coach. I appreciate it with me personally, Roman. Nice talking, man. Appreciate that. Thanks for the insight, Coach.
Yeah, thanks, Roman. I appreciate you having me on.
All right, no doubt. All right, coming up next on the Paul Feinbaum Show, we got more and more guests coming. We got Kennington Lloyd Smith III. I heard he's a friend of mine. At four, Phillip Dukes to cover a little bit of Auburn, so we get both sides of it, Alabama, Auburn, on everything. We got former coach, my homie and golf partner, Wimp Sanderson, coming in at 5:30 Eastern, and also Jason Marshall Jr., defensive back from Florida at 6. Looking forward to it. Many more guests and taking your calls all day long right here on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back on the Paul Feinbaum Show. I'm your host for the day, Roman Harper. Thank you so much. Now, let's just get to the headlines coming in off a crazy weekend. Number one, Georgia running back Trevor Etienne booked on DUI and three other charges. Once again, Trevor Etienne booked on DUI. Once again, Georgia's in the headlines for the wrong reasons. We don't like it, but we got to talk about it. Vanderbilt to hire James Madison's Mark Byington. How about that? You just get put out of the tournament. You already got a job waiting on you. Shout out to him. Congratulations for becoming Vanderbilt's newest and latest basketball coach. Can't wait to talk to you, Coach Byington. Now, before we get to the calls, I would like to say, I think it is one other third headline, and that is Kim Mulkey firing shots all over the place this past couple days to the WAPO. Whoever this person is, nobody even knew that this was a scandal or a hit piece, as she called it, until she brought it all out. And now, literally, we're all sitting back waiting to see what the next move will be in this chess piece, this chess game of Coach Mulkey versus whoever she's talking about at the Washington Post. Now, let's get to calls. Swamp Dog in Georgia, welcome to the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Hello, Mr. Roman Harper. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Swamp Dog. I wish you had a name like yours.
Yeah, well, I like yours. You're one of the best analysts in the sport, in my opinion. And I got a good question for you because I know you played the game. This hip drop tackle thing that the NFL has come up with, what in the world does that mean? You can't leave your feet. You unweighted yourself. Have you ever even heard terms like this before?
Well, look, first and foremost, they are making – Swamp Dog, this is a great question. We talked about this before this show that, hey, it just got brought up. It just got passed by the NFL. For those that don't know, it is a hip drop tackle. That is the technical term that's never been used in a defensive meeting ever before. Half the time when these tackles happen, it's literally I'm just trying to get the guy down. I have no idea how they anticipate – NFL players playing defense going forward. Not only that, but the worst part of this whole deal and situation is that not only will I cost my team 15 yards for a personal foul, not only could I possibly hurt somebody, which I'm not even intentionally trying to do, I'm actually just trying to get this guy down because that I'm tackling that's usually bigger than the defensive player that's trying to tackle them, but I will get fined by the NFL on top of it. That is the worst part about it. Every time we get to another offseason, it's another rule implemented to give the offense an advantage in the game of the NFL right now, every single year. And not only that, but now we're taking money out of the defensive players' pockets by attempting to try to play the game at the highest speed, at the highest rate of speed as we know to do. So, Swamp Dog, I don't have the answers, bro. It makes zero sense to me. I'm completely against it, nor is it taught.
And what they also do is put more judgment on the officials to decide when it happens. And they already got enough problems with that, you know, and how can they determine whether that's the call or not, you know?
Well, Swamp Dog, I think all they do is this, all right? We'll get it out of here. We'll get you out of here on this one, my boy. Is the NFL, the more they are talked about, it's like the happier they are. And any kind of controversy on a Monday or a Tuesday after the Monday night only gets us talking about it Tuesday, Wednesday to get us to Thursday. And so you're right. It's going to put more onus on the refs to get this call right. And now we're only going to talk about is, well, why didn't they get that one right? And why didn't they didn't get this one right? Instead of let us just play ball and maybe you protect the quarterback from doing this. But then I also don't know how, because they already said you can't land on the quarterback. So now I'm trying to pull him back and fall a certain way. I don't have no idea. I'm glad I'm not playing right now because I would be dead broke. Thank you. Thank you, Swamp Dog. Appreciate it. Slammer, you are the next caller on the Paul Feinbaum Show. I am Roman Harper. How you doing, boss?
Roman Harper, what's going on, man?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm okay. Where's Paul at? I was looking for him on the radio today, but I'm glad he got a little relief because I think he got too much heat from the Slammer.
Well, Slammer, you chased him away to Austin. Don't go find him, but he's in Austin. Don't worry about it.
Oh, he's in Austin. Okay, ain't far because I know the Crimson Tide's in Carolina.
Yes.
What do you think about that, Roman?
Number one, I don't doubt Nate Oates in Alabama's basketball team. Nate Oates has done an amazing job at continuing to push, continue to change the mindset and what Alabama believes that they can be in basketball on that campus. So that's number one. Number two, I didn't anticipate them doing it the way that they did it in the second round versus Grand Canyon. And that is they did it on the defensive side first. Mark Sears, everybody putting pressure on the ball, doing a great job. Alabama does not win games defensively. Not this year. They have not been that team. But they did it this year in a different way. And so when you start to see teams evolve this late in the season, where now they're showing you that, hey, we not only can we win by being the team that we are, which is shooting threes, scoring 100, 80, 90-something points, but now we can actually win a game in the 60s where we keep another team in the 50s, but a lower scoring game in that type of fashion. I really give Alabama a lot of credit for that. Now, they're going to have their hands full in the Sweet 16 versus number one seed UConn, who's returning all the playmakers that they have, R.J. Davis, Armando Bacot, all these other guys. It's going to be a really tough matchup. But Alabama, we all know, once they get hot, They are a tough team to stop. And if they can put pressure, just enough pressure, somebody gets foul trouble, anything like that can happen in these tournaments. That is what makes them so special.
I agree with you, Roman. I agree with you. Have you talked with Jim or Legend? Have you talked with them yet today?
They have not come on, Slammer, but I will make sure I tell them that you asked about them first. They're already getting shout-outs. What you want me to tell them? You want me to pass a message?
You tell them not to be too hard on your – because the Slammer's got you back.
Okay, deal. I'll take it. All right, I'll take it off of that.
Let me tell you what I think about you already. I hadn't heard you on here much, but I know who you are. But I think you're real close to being as good as Steve Smith. Steve.
I'll take that, man. Smitty's my boy, so I'll take that. Anytime I can get compared to greatness. Thank you so much, Slammer. Appreciate it, man. Thank you so much for calling in. Dwayne from Louisiana. You're on the
Paul Feinbaum
Show.
I'm from New Orleans.
Oh, the N.O., the 504, baby.
I'm
the
from
boot.
The N.O., Uptown,
come on.
Third Ward.
Oh, you're from the Uptown,
right
okay.
Out the Magnolia, right out the Magnolia Projects, baby. You know what I'm saying?
I do. You know
where that's at. Don't act like you don't know.
I do. I still got a place there, so I'm there.
Street hustle. You know what time it is, huh? Bottom line, club, but well, damn all the clubs you want to hang out at. All that matter and killer and all that. Hey, Roman Harper, I got a question, baby. That dude from Purdue, man. How long that dude been in college, man?
Edney, I believe he is. Zach Edey, he is the
man,
two-time.
How long that big dude been in college, man?
Actually, I think it's just 4 years. I think
that
he's
bull crap. He can't go pro.
He is a senior.
7'6".
He's 7'4", 300 pounds. Now, he's a senior because pro prospects and scouts say that he doesn't have a guaranteed professional career. So he's staying back
man,
in
you
college.
Believe that, man. That
I have no idea. I'm not one of those scouts, Dwayne. So I'm just telling you what the people are telling me. That's what I do on Paul Feinbaum Show. I just repeat
man,
and report to the people. All right?
He's out of them dudes off, man.
Yes, and so they're saying he can't do that in the NBA. So that is why he's staying in college, getting a little bit of NIL money, perfecting his game to maybe go have to play overseas somewhere. Not in the NBA today. They're saying that's not what they're looking for. Zach Edey's been a monster. National Player of the Year. Back-to-back years, possibly, in the men's game. And they're saying, he's not going to get enough for the NBA.
What? You believe that, Harper?
Hey, I'm just here to report the news, Dwayne. You know I wouldn't lie to nobody from New Orleans. Come on, baby. You from Uptown. Yeah. You think I lie to you?
I'm from Uptown, baby.
You think I lie to you?
Third War Hustle. Huh?
I wouldn't lie to you,
What'd
man.
What'd you say?
I wouldn't lie to you. No way. No
I
way.
I know you ain't gonna lie to me, Hopper. Hey, Hopper, baby. I know what time it is. Cash Money, baby. You know what time it is, baby. Lil Wayne, Juvenile, BG. You know what time it is, baby. All right, Hustle. All right, Brahma Hopper. Check you later, baby.
Thanks, Dwayne, man. Appreciate it, man. I already love it. People from New Orleans hitting me up. Third War. Uptown. I can't wait, man. This is going to be an awesome day. We're just getting started. 30 minutes in. More when we come back on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back to the Paul Feinbaum Show. And yes, it is not Paul Feinbaum. It is your boy, Roman Harper. I know Jamari didn't like that one. But anyways, taking your calls all day long. We have some guests in between the hours, this, that, and the other. But I am here to get a people what they want. And that is just the truth and honesty. And next, we have Bash from Boulder, Colorado. Bash, what's up, man? You're on the Feinbaum Show.
Mr. Roman Harper, it is an absolute honor. Thank you so much for taking my call. How are you doing today?
Hey, man, I'm blessed by you, man. Hey, look, it's an honor for you to be calling me, so thank you.
No, sir, I just want to tell you that I grew up in Prattville, Alabama, as a lifelong Alabama Crimson Tide fan since I was 7 years old. I started playing Prattville YMCA football when I was 10 years old in 2005. After I saw The Longest Yard with Adam Sandler, it took off from there. It was an absolute honor to grace your presence when I was that little, and to go all the way 18 years later is unbelievable, Roman. Thank you. I wanted to ask you a question about the current status of the safety position in the NFL. But before I do that, can I give you my top five safeties since Nick Saban has unfortunately retired this season to play under the Nick Saban era for the Alabama Crimson Tide and see if it meets the Roman Harper standards?
You know what? I love this conversation. I love rankings. Let's do it. Go ahead, Bash. And shout out to Prattville, too. I know y'all tuning in and back there in the 334. Go ahead, Bash.
That's still my area code. Never forget it. So number one, obviously got to start with Roman Harper. You are the original. You are the standard, the gold standard. And if it just like if I was starting a running back rankings, all the great ones that have come in recent years, they all fall under number one, Mark Ingram. No matter Derrick Henry, Najee Harris, Josh Jacobs, Mark Ingram was the first, just like you. So number two, the most talented one that's come under the years under Nick Saban, Minkah Fitzpatrick.
I totally agree.
Number three and four, I got tied between the two Jacksons, Kareem Jackson and Eddie Jackson.
I like that. Kareem played more corner in college, but he has transitioned amazing. He has had the longest career of any of the defensive backs that came out under Nick Saban. So yes,
that's exactly why I put him on my list for his longevity.
Great job, great call.
And last but not least, number five, I had to either go between Landon Collins and HaHa Clinton Dix. I had to go with Landon Collins. I just think he's just a little bit better. He's just a little bit more skilled and just, unfortunately, just made the cut in my eyes. And obviously, Brian Branch and Jordan Battle are up there, too, with honorable mentions, but had to go with Landon. Now, speaking of Kareem Jackson, Roman, I wanted to ask you, going to my question about the safety position in the NFL, what did you think when my Denver Broncos cut Kareem Jackson and put him on the reserve list, and he was obviously picked up by his original team, the Houston Texans. And then later they cut one of the greatest safeties in NFL today, Justin Simmons. And currently we have a bunch of the top safeties in the league, like Justin Simmons, Eddie Jackson, and Jamal Adams, for example, that are still free agents that are at this point undesirable. And I wanted to ask you, do you think they are the defensive comparison of the running back position currently as it stands?
All right, just to answer all of that for you, Bash, I love, number one, where your mind is going. Number two, I would pick Landon Collins over HaHa just because Landon Collins got like 90-something million. So you always – If it makes dollars, it makes sense in my mind. So that's number one. And then when it comes to
New York Giants paid him.
Hey, it don't matter. He got paid broke off. And that was with the Washington 100%. Commanders before they changed their name to the Commanders. That might have been the football team at the time. But Landon Collins, and then when it comes to the safety position right now, you see all these guys being released and all these other things. The one thing I was told by the vets when I first got in the NFL is this, Bash, the longer you're around this game, the less sometimes that it makes sense, that you're going to see crazier things than you could ever imagine. Really good players getting released, them keeping bad players. And a lot of times it has to do with the money. And so once you start to, once they put your cap mark at a certain place, and all of a sudden they're not getting a certain amount of production that they want or deem that you should be doing, you give them an opportunity to release you. And that's all it is. They always want to reset the market, and they always feel that they can get a safety at a different type of value, whether it's drafting a second-round guy, drafting a third-round guy, and maybe starting him or getting ready to start him. And so that's what it really comes down to. Jamal Adams is because of injuries. That's why he's on the streets right now. They actually released the other safety as well. So, and Justin Simmons is a great playmaker, a really good interception guy, has made a lot of plays in the league. But every now and then, this is what happens to all of the great ones. I bet Justin Simmons is getting closer to 30. That's another type of tail mark as well. So all these things start to figure out. I remember I was 29. The moment I hit 30, they're like, oh, you're about to get old. You must be old. I'm like, dude,
Jesus.
I look at every other part in the world. I'm just a young, debonair guy right here, 30 years old. Got the whole life, my whole life in front of me. But in NFL terms, you are starting to get over the hill. Bash, man, thank you for allowing us to get into that great mind of yourself. And also shout out to all the great safeties out there doing work, because we affect the game way more than any other star corner. A star 100%. Corner may affect the game in 20-something plays. A great safety affects the game with 60 to 70 plays because of the communication, the tackling, the pass defensive, and also the effect on the run game and everything else. So you're talking about a quarterback of the defense. Bash, shout out to you, bro. Next, we're going to Trav from Lexington, Kentucky.
Roman?
Yes, I'm right here, Trav. What's good?
Awesome, dude. So, look, I want to talk about John Calipari.
All right. I think I know something.
You know,
Go ahead. This guy,
you know, like, he gets up and he just apologizes for the way his players play all the time. And I'm sick of it. I'm a graduate there. And, look, did we have a good team? Of course we did. But I'm sick of him piling on the players. You know, do you all have a comment on that or anything?
Not exactly. I do know this. It starts at the top. It starts at the top. And so you know, especially when you have younger players that you're going to be depending on. But this is how Calipari and Kentucky are built. They are built for the
now.
They
are
built with the young players.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, no, no. You're fine. You're fine. It's okay. I'm here to listen to you, Trav. I'm not the one that's mad.
Is this method broken where it can't work anymore? Like, you know, we got the NIL and, you know, transfer portal and all that. And he's like, well, we got 18-year-olds playing out here against 25-year-olds. They're playing against grown-ass men.
And Trav, and so, he's not wrong about that. But you also got to understand, when it comes to Kentucky basketball, NIL is not a problem. Never been a problem. Not saying anything.
No,
been a problem. And it's also, this is what Calipari's always done. He's always going out and get the top-tier players year in and year out. And when you guys have the right mix.
Look, we had Antonio Reeves this year. Without him, what would we have done? Right?
Yes, correct. And it's also – you guys have to get the right mixture or combination. And in today's men's NCAA basketball, the older teams are winning. Look at San Diego State, for example, last year.
Yeah,
nobody paid attention that they had 25, 24, 23-year-old players all over the roster. That matters in these times, in today's NCAA basketball.
I agree 100%. So let me ask you a question.
Yes.
It's the last question I got here. I know you only have limited time. But is Calipari the right fit going forward for the next 10 years?
Now, Trav, I mean, I can't tell you what I think's right in the next 10 days. So I don't know about 10 years from now. I couldn't tell you. But I will say this. John Calipari has been an amazing coach for so long in the NCAA, and he's been great for Kentucky. You guys have won. You guys have changed.
Hold on there just one second.
I will say this, Trav, because I got to get to a break. But I will let you have one quick rebuttal. But I will say this: he is on his coach's show this evening at 6 p.m. via phone call. So he will be there today. That's all I do have on that. But John Calipari's been great. Go ahead, please.
Okay,
tell me
your last thought. My last retort on that, Roman, is in 5 years we've gone to the Sweet 16 one time, and this is Kentucky. You know, we are the blue blood of basketball. Mm-hmm. You know, just like Duke and North Carolina. So, how do you respond to that?
I will not. I'm not going to try and defend John Calipari on the Feinbaum Show. That's not Roman Harper's job today, Trav. I appreciate the phone call. We're going to get to a break here.
I appreciate you too,
baby. More of your calls when we're coming back. And, hey, if you're mad, let's talk about it.
No, I'm not mad.
No, not you, Trav. I'm talking about everybody else out there. I'll see you later.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back to the Paul Feinbaum Show. I'm your host today, Roman Harper. And we are getting straight to the calls right before we get to another break here. So let's keep it rolling. Almost done through the first hour. This is rolling through. We have Todd in Shelby. Welcome to the Feinbaum Show. You're talking to Roman Harper. What's good, man?
Hey, thank you, Roman. Looking good, babe, brother.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
I don't know much about stuff as bad as this. I just called in this show to aggravate the hell out of somebody. This is what I want to know. It's two or three things I want to talk about. But did them goat humpers get beat by an Ivy League team being Yale? Ain't they an Ivy League team, Roman?
That is correct.
Okay, so they done whooped the goat humpers from the Plains. All right, one more thing I done heard this morning. Georgia, they finally got ahead of us, and then we put them back in their place. And when they beat us for the national championship that year, I called in and told that we didn't really know how to suck quite as good as Georgia. And we got it straightened out, and we whipped Georgia. But when we did and went into the playoffs and played Michigan, everybody in the United States said, no, Georgia would be the better team in. But we won ourselves in, and we ended up one of the top four. All right, since we're in the Sweet 16, Roman, don't that make us better than Auburn?
Technically, yes, it does. You are correct.
The way I look at it.
Todd, and I know Auburn won the SEC tournament. Some are going to complain because they had to go out to Spokane to play in that side of the bracket. They were a four team in the SEC tournament. They win the SEC, and they still are a four team, four seed behind 2 and 3 of Kentucky and other brackets.
Yeah.
It don't matter. They're all at home now. They're all at home. Alabama's the only one there.
Yeah. All right, let me hit Georgia big time right now. Kirby Smart's done let something get loose over there. Now, I called in and told Paul, there ain't nobody in the world named as NM or whatever it is that just got in trouble with his DUI, that they heard that NM on the Wizard of Oz, NM Dorothy's 8, and that's where they got that name. Ain't nobody named that. And the only way that Georgia is going to keep them players wrapped up is take all the alcohol out of Georgia, because they're going to have to go to Cat Daddy in South Carolina to get it. Hey, Roman, thank you for taking my call, buddy. Roll Tide, man.
Roll Tide, Todd. All right, we're going to get one more quick call in here before we get y'all out of here. Actually, you know what? I'm just going to talk about what Todd is talking about. You know what? Let's just talk about it. All right. I'm not here to beat up on Auburn fans, but Auburn fans, you should be disappointed, okay? That basketball, you're supposed to beat Yale, period. You had too good of a season, too great of a finish to the season to not continue to punch tickets and move on. Trust me, you were picked in my bracket. You disappointed me as well. So it's not just the Auburn faithful that should be disappointed, and you're allowing people like Todd to continue to poke the bear and say how they're better than you. When, look, let's just be honest and truthful. Alabama was not better than Auburn basketball this year. But the way you finish is how you will be remembered. And this is another lesson for all of us to be learned today. So, we continue to go forward. And Roll Tide it is. Yeah, I hear that in my ear. But, yes, Auburn, you have to be better. You got to win that game versus Yale. It doesn't matter where you play. It didn't matter when you guys were in Nashville, and I heard you guys after the game talking about the winning, that they did need to be in Tiger – not in Tiger Stadium, but out there at your home field where Auburn has had a dominant performance all year long. So it would be really, really good for Auburn to continue to bounce back. And I want to hear more callers talk about it as well. Coming up next, one of the Alabama beat writers looking forward to him, Kennington Lloyd Smith III. Can't wait. Let's talk a little bit of ball about Alabama.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. Watch the Paul Feinbaum Show weekdays from 3 to 7 Eastern on the SEC Network. Plus, you can listen and watch on the ESPN app.